The conference is now being recorded.
Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Kirloskar Ferrous Industries Limited Q2 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by Antique Stock Broking. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Pallav Agarwal from Antique Stock Broking. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Sagar, and good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking, I welcome you all to the second quarter earnings conference call of Kirloskar Ferrous. We are pleased to have with us the senior management team represented by Mr. Gomaste Mr. Srivatsan, the Executive Director of Finance and CFO. So now I would like to hand over to Mr. Gomaste for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Pallav, and let me welcome all the analyst investors onto quarter two call of Kirloskar Ferrous Industries Limited. I would like to start with a quick small update on industry scenario and specific to Kirloskar Ferrous Industries Limited. During the last quarter two, we had one of the furnaces upgrade shut down, last furnace one. We changed the pellet top to pellet top. And in addition to that, we also did the upgrade of the technology for the furnace. We have completed all the shutdowns and we have started the furnaces, and currently we are running all the three furnaces. Due to this, as you see, quarter two, the pig iron available for sales was less, and it was 1,644 metric ton total quantity for sale. And now with all the three blast furnaces running, the quantity should go up. With respect to demand for pig iron, during the quarters, we did have headwinds, and especially because of increasing price of coking coal and also increasing price of iron ore, due to which the pig iron margins were under pressure. And even till date also, the pig iron margins are under pressure because there is no reduction in the coking coal and iron ore prices, whereas commodities, whether it is pig iron or steel scrap, the prices continue to come down. So there is a continued pressure on the pig iron margin. With respect to our other product, casting demand for casting continues, especially in two segments. The auto sector, which is mainly we are dependent on commercial auto, demand for casting is strong, and also demand for casting for infrastructure, earth moving equipment is good. However, demand for castings from the tractor industry is sluggish, and it continues to be soft due to various reasons, one of them being poor monsoon over the last 4 months. As a result of this, the casting volumes which we had last year, second quarter, we had gone to a level of 34,700 tons of sales in the quarter. For this month, this quarter, we are at 31,491 tons, which is a drop of about 5%. Whereas the pig iron drop overall compared to the earlier quarter is 1.5%. As commodity prices had come down, bigger in prices during this quarter compared to the last year, second quarter. The bigger in prices have come down almost by 16.4% from 50,000 rupees per ton to 45,000 rupees per ton. This has also affected the top line of the company. But overall, if you look at, we are flattish on volumes of Tigeran and castings. And going forward, we have opportunity to cover, but it all depends on the market conditions. But casting, we are still hopeful that we should be able to achieve a growth of 4 to 5% in volume going up to the year end. Whereas the Tigeran entirely depends on the market conditions. We have been awaiting improved commodity prices in Tigeran. However, it has not been encouraging so far. Whereas the quarter two, we could manage well in spite of the many headwinds, and we could achieve a total sales of 880 crores and 880 crores and a PBT of 75.94 crores. EBITDA margin overall at the company level remains at 15%, and rather, you know, because of the price reduction and managing the margins, it shows a small improvement in the EBITDA margin compared to the earlier quarters. With respect to progress on ISMT, being a limited company, has announced its results. The turnaround and improvement in the business at ISMT continues good, and it is already contributing to the improved contribution into the consolidated results of the company. And there is a good demand for the seamless tubes. And though we have the pressure of power and fuel cost being very high, in spite of that, we have been able to manage the volume increase as well as the product price increase, and thereby improving the margins. And ISMT has also moved to EBITDA levels of almost 16%. Overall, consolidated, we have moved to around 16% of EBITDA. And with respect to various projects, we have completed Cocoon Phase 2 and Power Plant Phase 2 completely. It's up, operational and running. Blast Furnace 1, which was taken for technology upgrade, and Bellless Top, this is up and running. We have continued the project for the pulverized coal injection, and we should be ready with pulverized coal injection by the end of this financial year. In addition to that, we have also taken a large 70 megawatt solar power plant project under ISMT, and it's progressing with delay, and we expect it to get commissioned before the year end, which should give a good cost reduction in terms of power cost in ISMT box. In addition to this, preparation for the steel plant in terms of progressing for environmental clearance, also, oxygen plant for pulverized coal injection have been ordered, and they have been put into project progress. Oxygen plant has a long delivery period, and we expect that to get commissioned 1 year after commissioning of the pulverized coal injection. In addition to this, we have completed phase one of Line 2 in Solapur, and it is up and running. we are in the process of capacity utilization improvement efforts, and we have come to a level of 600 metric tons per month, and we expect that we will cross more than 1,000 tons by end of this month, by end of this financial year. As all of you know, we have completed acquisition of Oliver Engineering, and we have taken the charge, and currently we are in the process of cleaning, clearing, and upgrading the facility, and we should be shortly ready with the plan of startup. We are yet to finalize the date for start, but we are in the process to complete the restoration work and start up the foundry. Should be able to come back with more information in the next quarterly call. But we have finished the process of acquisition and managed travel. We are currently building our team to execute the team to start the foundry. These are few of the highlights, and with this I would like to close my opening remarks and request the moderator to start the question and answer. Thank you very much once again. Look forward to answering some of your calls. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you can press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking the question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Digant Haria from Green Edge Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. So my question is, first question is ISMT. Like when we had acquired, we used to guide that 3,000 crores of revenue and maybe 15-16% margins is what we are targeting in the first phase. So looking at this quarter, we have already reached that revenue run rate and that margins as well. So I just wanted to check if there are any one-offs in the margins for this quarter, or was it that there is good realization in the tube business that helped us reach there? And I'm assuming these margins are without any efficiency of the solar power plant because that's not yet started. So where can these margins really settle once the solar plant is operational? So that's my first question. Hello, am I audible? Hello?
Yeah, I think Mr. Gumaste's line dropped. Will you connect again?
Sure, definitely. Please wait while we connect the line for the management. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We have connected the management line once again. And Mr. Haria, could you please start with your question once again?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. So first question is on ISMT. We are already reaching a revenue run rate of 3,000 crores annualized if we look at the current quarter, and also margins of 16%, and this 16% margins is without impact of solar plant, which will result in some power saving. So can you just guide us a little bit on, what to expect in terms of revenue and margins going forward once your, solar plant is also commissioned?
Yeah, first of all, what numbers you mentioned, it is right. We are currently at 3,000 crores, run rate. Actually, as soon as we have taken over the charge, we have already put in debottlenecking projects. We are overall investing about 100 crores for the debottlenecking project, which should get completed by June 24, if not by March 24. And we expect some debottlenecking should start giving us increased production and sales, which would improve the revenue ISMT books. Second thing, we are also putting our efforts to increase the sales of steel, which also should give us the increased revenue. These are difficult, challenging marketing breakthroughs, and we are planning for that, and we expect that we will have the benefits of this investment and also debottlenecking, and we will have the increased volumes coming there. And with respect to powers, we expect by end of March 24, we should complete and commission 70 megawatts power plant and the solar power plant. And with that, we will get the benefit of about 70 crores per annum, 70 megawatt power plant. And we are also working on ordering more solar power plant to mitigate power cost.
Right. All right, sir. So just a follow-up on this, last quarter we were at production run rate of 12,000 tons per month for the tubes business. Where have we reached now? And in terms of marketing breakthroughs, you know, if you can just give some color on, you know, have we become empaneled with a lot of these global EPC players or local EPC players like Engineers India and all of that?
Yes, I think empaneling and approvals from customers, they are quite in place. And currently we are at a run rate of 10,500 from Baramati and 3,500 from Nagar. Put together, it will come to 14,000 metric ton per month. And our effort is to the bottleneck and go higher than these numbers. But there is a market requirement higher than this, and we have to increase our outputs.
Right, right. So thank you for this. Sir, and my second question is on the castings business. Sir, we have seen that, you know, this tractor slowdown has been impacting us for the last quarter. I just wanted to know if there are any new programs which will be commissioned in the next 12 months from our, you know, 26 existing customers which can, you know, help us increase volumes despite this tractor slowdown, or it's not possible to expect that without a revival in the tractor industry?
Well, two parts of answer to this question. A balance of tractor gives us tractor castings relatively simple, and hence productivities are higher level are achievable faster. Second, that's why it's always good to have some tractor load of a good percentage to drive the volumes. On the other side, overall, there is more demand from the customers from other sectors, and we are developing the parts, new parts for Solapur Line 2, as well as there is interest from the customers for buying the castings from Oliver Punjab Foundry as well. And we definitely need a revival in the tractor, but we have other castings and other customers joining us to take the volumes.
All right. Thank you so much for these answers. I'll come back in the queue. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Mr. Sahil Sanghvi from Monarch Network Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. My first question is, sir, I would want to understand the reason for the rise in the depreciation number for ISMT and also the higher tax rate which has been shown for the last 2 years, last two quarters at ISMT.
The first part of the question is the increase in depreciation.
Yes. We have moved to roughly 22 crores from a run rate of about 13-14 crores. So, anything which has been commissioned over there or any kind of, I mean, the reason?
I don't have a very specific answer to this. I can check and come back, but we have started our CapEx cycle. The commissionings are no major commissionings. I need to get back to you. I don't have exact number. If at all, if Mr. Srivatsan wants to add to this.
Srivatsan here. The depreciation are consistent. I couldn't get able to get your question properly.
Yeah, we'll come back to you. That's on the depreciation part of it. So what is the second part of the question?
The tax rate. Tax rate is also looking pretty high, more than 30% easily, 39% actually.
I think we are following the new method, and our tax rates would be 25%. But if there are any adjustments, anything, effect of takeover and all that, but you can take it that going forward it would be 25% new tax rate for all our units.
Got it, sir. And these debottlenecking projects that you are undertaking at ISH.
Can you be a bit closer to mic so that I can hear clearly? Fine.
Is this better, sir?
Please go. It is better.
Yes. The follow-up question on the SMT part was that these debottlenecking projects that you're undertaking, what is the timeline set for this?
Yeah, I did mention that this first phase of debottlenecking project, about 100 crores, what we have taken up, mainly into Baramati, and we expect it to complete all these projects by June 24.
Okay. Okay.
The effort here is to increase the output from 10,500 to 12,500 per month.
Got it, sir. Got it. And my next question is regarding the spreads, sir, big iron spreads. So for a very, I think for at least two months we have seen, 2-3 months we have seen coking coal prices come down to $250 per ton. So we should have some inventory of that pricing of coking coal, right, which benefits we have not seen yet in the financials. So when would we see that coming in the numbers?
I can only say that if anyone buys today's coal, which is blend could be $300, it is impossible to make bigger and sell and make any margins. We are doing something and we are able to manage something because we still have the coking coal with the average blend cost of about $250. And with that also, it's extremely challenging to have decent margins in spite of having very efficient coke ovens. Right now, I would say that the commodity pricing, one is core coking coal and iron ore. So iron ore prices have also gone up. But the pig iron prices have substantially gone down, which is really taking away the margins.
So just to understand this better, sir, why are the pig iron prices not moving up? I mean, what could be the reasons and what kind of traction you see over there?
Two major reasons. The Ukraine war, there was a disruption of supplies to Europe and there was artificial increase in the prices. But after that, now the Europe demand for pig iron or any part of the world, it is very low and no export of pig iron happening from India. Everyone is just selling it in the domestic market. But more than 1.5 million ton per year was getting exported. That is almost come to halt as of this point of time. And we had a couple of plants. Now we have another two plants which have got added, including NMDC, 80,000 tons of pig iron per month. I think this has affected the balance in the industry. And some subdued demand for pig iron, especially tractor consumes a lot of heavy castings. And though it has not come down very big way, but there would have been 5% growth, it would have resulted into 10 to 15% additional requirement of pig iron. But I think that is missing. I think the supply, demand supply skewed at this point of time.
Right, sir. And my last question, sir, would be regarding the PCI and oxygen. Now, like you said that the oxygen plant will come 1 year after the PCI gets commissioned. Would this affect the reduction in the coke rate that we were targeting, say, about 100-110 kgs?
No, it won't affect that because we will be able to buy oxygen and do, but it will increase the cost of oxygen, not affect the rate of PCI. So we are working on alternative plans of sourcing of oxygen, like different process with shorter period. I think we will start the PCI with low oxygen enrichment because foundry grade takes low enrichment. As we move towards basic grade and steel grade, then we need more oxygen enrichment and more PCI. And it also takes a little bit time to go to full pulverized coal injection. I think we will be able to manage and mitigate with some impact of cost of oxygen.
Right, sir. And the casting sales volume trajectory from FY 2025, would you still stick to that 15% kind of growth next year for casting, or would that also be slightly lower?
No, my looking is, as I said, this year seems to be more flattish. We could achieve 3%-5% growth on casting. Still, we have opportunity to do that. But going forward next year, we have big opportunity to productionize most of the customer castings which are under development, and we can expect a better growth next year. I think we'll be able to forecast better as we complete at least one more quarter.
Got it, sir. Thank you and all the best, sir.
Thank you very much, Sahil.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. If you have any follow-up questions, you can rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Ashav Patel from Molecule Ventures PMS. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, my first question is, what would be the expected volumes for H2 in both pig iron segment and casting segments?
For which year?
For the second half, sir. Second half of FY 2024, current year.
Okay. See, second half of this year, we are ready with all the three blast furnaces, which can produce 165,000 tons of hot metal. Pig iron would be 96%-97% of that. And some internal consumption and sellable pig iron like that. We are ready with a full volume production. Whether the margins will allow us to sell full or that's the question mark. We have to watch and see how the market goes. There are question marks. Coming to the casting, as we said, we expect some pickup in the market after Diwali, and we are expecting that currently we are lagging behind by about 3% on volume compared to last year, but we expect to catch up maybe about 10% in the second half so that overall we may achieve a growth of 3%-4%. That is our expectation on the casting business in the remaining 6 months of this year.
Sure. Okay. Got it, sir. And sir,
Thank you.
In second half, now going forward in short or medium term, are we expecting, say, for next 1 year, are we expecting any stoppages, plant stoppages for pig iron segment?
We do not have any planned stoppages for at least, to my best understanding, for a couple of years. But there will be small stoppages, which is routine, but not major planned shutdowns. Refractory lining or technology upgrade, nothing is planned for next 2-3 years.
Got it. And sir, regarding the, as you mentioned, for the 70 MW solar, we have a bit delayed the thing in next quarter. It would start in Q4 of FY 2024, around March 2024. Similarly, what would be the timeline for phase two of ISMP Solar?
We need totally 210 megawatts of solar between ISMT and KFIL put together, and that amounts to 70, and most important thing is the whether we do it or somebody else does it, managing the land. That is the highest, longest time taking wherever we go.
Mm-hmm.
Land parcel and grid connectivity. And that's where the delays have happened. We are trying to work out if we are able to, I think we'll complete phase one, 70 megawatt by March. And whether we can do something quickly, another 70 megawatt if we start immediately, and whether we can commission them in the second quarter of next year is what we are expecting.
Okay. And so regarding the
idea is within next 1 year, try to finish all 210.
Okay, got it. Super. Lovely. And so regarding the ISMT margin, this quarter we saw almost 16.4% of operating margin, and we were targeting this margin range post solar saving. So even as a sustainable annual guidance, can we assume now 15% of EBITDA margin at ISMT could be a new base?
No, I think it's very important we have to observe very carefully overall. One is the demand for the tubes. Other side is the commodity prices. So if the lower prices are bigger and when it hits us hard in KFIL, it's advantage ISMT. So okay. You have to study end to end, and there are pluses and minuses.
Okay, got it. And so regarding casting,
I'll come back. You to return to the queue. Thank you so much.
Sure.
The next question is from the line of Pratik Kothari from Unique PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you. So my first question on ISMT, now we have spoken in the past that our net worth has now changed to positive and we can participate in tender orders, be it oil and gas or others. So some further clarity or color on that?
Can you repeat the question? I couldn't get fully properly.
So my question is, now that the net worth of ISMT is positive, we can participate in tender orders in
okay.
Oil and gas and across segments. So,
some clarity. Yeah. See, thank you very much for clarifying the question. We have started participating in tenders. We are winning the orders. We are not only, we are winning all types of tubes. We are also going into the premium couplings with the help of some partners. And that is very, very positive for us. But we need more tubes, and hence we need increased productivity coming from the plants, and that's why we are working on the debottlenecking. I think coming years we will add to the oil and gas related tube sales, which currently are good pricing and should help us to continue to improve the top line and the margins.
Correct. And so we are at about 14,000 run rate currently, and we have an installed base of 30. So to go from 14 to 30, what kind of incremental debottlenecking or investments that we'll require? I mean, you mentioned about 100 crores for some 2,000 monthly, but to go up to 25,000-30,000, what incrementally it could require?
Currently, we have done to go to 1.5 lakhs from Varanasi and maybe 50,000 instead of 40,000 from Nagar. So which should take us to about 2 lakh ton. And those debottlenecking projects have been identified and we have started the work. I think it should happen in about coming for within next 1 year kind of thing. We should be able to realize this much. But our understanding goes that these nameplate capacities like 3 lakh ton and 3.5 lakh ton require much more deeper debottlenecking and some more projects. And we will, towards end of this year, we will work out more detailing because that becomes our next phase of capacity utilization projects. I'll be able to answer better once we work out. But currently, we have worked out only up to how to go up to 2 lakh ton and not really going up to 3 lakh ton or 3.5 lakh ton. So there are projects possible and we will work on those in phase 2.
Correct. I think we had started on this cost reduction journey in ISMT again in terms of procurement or in terms of operational efficiency. So I understand it's a continuous journey, but where are we in that journey? I mean, I'm talking X of solar, just other operational efficiencies, automation, etc. that we intended to do?
I think, as you mentioned, you know, it's, when I say solar, it's all about power and fuel. It's one big chunk, power and fuel as well, because fuel is also a big component in this industry. That's one thing. That's a cost. And how to mitigate that cost, reduce the cost, and add to the bottom line is two separate projects, power and fuel. In addition to that, as we improve the capacity utilization of the plants, both two plants, we also improve the yield, improve cut down the conversion cost. I think waste elimination and basic things we are already doing. I expect that very shortly we are done with that. But of course, it's always a continuous process. But I think as we increase the capacity utilization and productivity, we also improve the cost and improve the margins. So that's, that comes because of the unit consumption reduction, whether it is power, fuel, as well as the yield improvement. And those are the projects which will also get identified and we are already working. But I think the important thing would be our cost reduction on the manufacturing of the steel. Again, it comes back to the top power and fuel, yield, number of units, output, rolling more quantity. All these are the activities in steel.
Correct. Correct. And my last question on pig iron, sir. I mean, on a steady state, given the capacity that we have in casting, in steel, in tubes, what kind of captive consumption would we realize from the pig iron that we have? I mean, say maybe 2-3 years out.
No, totally different ways to look. Currently, we are consuming maybe 30,000 ton per annum in casting, and we are consuming with ISMT acquisition maybe 70,000-80,000 in steel in Jejuri. About a lakh ton, but our production capability is about 7 lakh ton. Leaving 1 lakh, we have a surplus of 6 lakh ton of casting. Pig iron per se. So this is one. And secondly, you know, when we move to steel making in Baspet, one of the blast furnaces will completely go for steel making. So that much volume will come down. We will come down from 55,000 to maybe 35,000 per month. And then it's our choice whether to increase the pig iron capacity and maintain 60,000 tons of pig iron sales per month, or go for more value added and allow pig iron to drop to 35,000. I think that decision needs to be taken at later stage, not right now.
Right. Great. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Kothari.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Manish Goyal from Thinkwise Wealth Managers. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, sir. First of all, would like to congratulate you, sir, for excellent turnaround at ISMT in within a matter of 2 years, sir. Very heartening to see that. Sir, just to clarify on the 70 megawatt phase one, which will start by year end, did you mention that the annual power cost saving would be 70 crores, 70?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. When you mentioned we require 210 megawatt for entire AFL consolidated, so at ISMT itself, out of that 210 would be how much, sir?
Minus 35.
Okay, so 70, 70, and 70, so one third.
Two out of 210 minus 35 for a KSIL, so it's 175 megawatt is for ISMT.
Okay. So ideally, maybe 2 years down the line, at least should we expect that this around 170, 180 crores of power cost saving at ISMT?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So probably that is what we probably achieve 18-20% EBITDA margin over a period of 2 years, sir. What you guided at the time of acquisition.
Yeah, absolutely. I think without any doubt. I think that is the situations are dynamic, but our plans are in that direction.
Wonderful, sir. And sir, we have taken a shutdown in Q1 and Q2 at MBS 1 and other plant as well. So what, because we see that other expenses have gone up. One is definitely the power cost has gone up at a standalone level also. But if we negate that, then still the other cost seems to be higher. So is there expenses related to shutdowns which we have accounted in quarter one and quarter two? Can you share those numbers, sir? How much would be towards that, which may not repeat in Q3, Q4?
I don't have exactly, but I need to work out.
Sure, sir.
I am sure there is into the manufacturing overheads, there is extra cost coming out of the shutdown.
Right, sir. Yeah.
But it is not in the expenses, it is manufacturing overheads.
Okay. Sure, sir.
Part of the variable cost. Yeah.
Sir, question related to Oliver, sir. You did mention that we have taken the refurbishment and upgradation plan. But if you can share some insights as to how much of your existing volumes which probably you would be servicing from your plant in maybe Solapur and Ospet, which can be shifted to Oliver, because you would probably have certain customers already being serviced from long distance plant at South. So how much do you think, and when do you think the best case the Oliver plant can start? So?
See, our plan is that the Oliver plant should start within 5-6 months. That's one, because there are number of items which are missing, which need to be replaced, and some of them could be high delivery items. And that's how I feel that 5 to 6 months are required to start the plant. And second part of it is the environmental clearance over there is for 28,000 metric ton. We can say that 25-30,000 ton we can gradually increase in about 2 to 3 years time, and maybe we can take it to half of that capacity very quickly. And we are trying to see that it adds to the volume and not to play within the volume, and it's part of advantage to not customers, and we look for more volumes. We would like to supply what we are supplying from the existing foundries, but additionally supply them from Oliver to supply more casting, as many customers want more supplies from KFI.
Okay, sir. And last question, sir, on our large casting foundry, basically, which we had announced a couple of quarters back, where we were looking at 1,000 tons per month capacity. Maybe if you can provide insights as to what is the status, when do you expect that? Because we see a lot of other players mentioning about very high demand for large size casting, especially from the off-highway vehicle markets. So if you can share this.
Yeah, first of all, we have finalized the technology partners, and we are in the phase of finalizing layout, process flow, and we should be able to start the building construction in a couple of months. And then we need 1 year to start the foundry. So I'm still looking 14, 15 months for start of casting production from new two-part foundry in Solapur. But in that time, in a small way, we continue to produce two-part castings, large castings for our customers from the existing B foundry. So we have one more year to go before we realize the reasonably well mechanized two-part foundry to come.
The capex for that, sir?
140 crores of capex for that foundry for completion.
Right, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, Manish. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bharat Sheth from Quest Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on good turnaround of. My first question is I am having for KFIL. One is my large part of the question has been answered. For other income has gone down because I believe that last year we had some incentive income in the first half. So, and are we expect that we were expected to get some kind of a incentive from Karnataka government on the new capex that we did? So if you can give some color, how that will really play out in second half?
Yes, I think you are right. Some incentive income is expected to come. But there is still a lot of work going on. But we will get something for sure. Whether we get a bigger chunk is still not very clear. Right now, I'm able to say that some incentive benefit will come in the second half, but I'm not sure very big substantial amount will come or not. We are trying for it. It has to fit into the schemes, yes. And then when it comes, I will update.
The second thing on with this commissioning of the 30 megawatt power plant with this COCO one, how much benefit do we expect in H2?
No, I think we have already started getting some benefit. Something is there even in quarter two results. But towards the, as we have come to October now, the power generation from COCON has increased. In spite of the increased power requirement from foundry and figure and all the plants, we are now power surplus. And we have started. We have started selling the power to Karnataka grid to Karnataka government, and we are getting 4.80 rupees per unit for the power. So it's a good realization as the grid is short of power, and they are taking the entire surplus power from us to the grid. So we will get and realize some additional benefit now.
And as you said, sir, for ISMT, this till this low softer pig iron price will continue to get the benefit in the ISMT, and which we feel that even H2 also there will be a with our commissioning of all the line, we'll have more surplus pig iron to sell. So ISMT, can we expect this kind of EBITDA margin to sustain? And what will be the saving once we start, I mean, the 70 megawatt power plant?
No, I think 70 megawatt power plant, I just mentioned to you that it gives us, cuts down our power cost by 70 crores. But there will be some addition to the the interest and depreciation. But I think it has the payback period of 3.5 years.
Okay, and this kind of ISMT Q2 margin is we expect to sustain because in view of the softer pig iron price, correct?
Absolutely, input commodity prices, not only pig iron but steel scrap as well, and also you know the good demand for tubes is definitely helping us in having the decent margins. Yes.
At what stage we are currently? I mean, okay.
Really sorry, sure. But can you please return to the question queue?
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
The next question is from the line of Nikhil, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. I wanted to ask your outlook on the pig iron and casting industry.
Yeah, I think I have over the last an hour or so, I think I have explained reasonably well. I think I'll be repeating basically. I think I've mentioned casting, pig iron, commodity, coal, coke, everything I've covered, I think. Thank you.
Okay. And so for your further CAPEX plan?
The CAPEX plan, you know, see, one is, you know, whatever we have already declared, but we have also told that we will be going in for the more solar power. So I think that's one area we will be investing. And you have already seen our invest. There will be some investment in Oliver Foundry and our continued project like PCI and oxygen plant. I think these are the main CAPEX drivers. And we had earlier said that last year and this year put together, we were looking for the CAPEX of 1,000 crores plus Oliver acquisition on top of it. So it can mean more than 1,100 crores in these 2 years.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Kritika Tiwari, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello, sir. So my question is that as you mentioned earlier, that the margins of pig iron had been under pressure. However, still we saw that quarter on quarter, the margins have increased from 14% to 15%. So definitely in that case, we have done some great work on the castings for front. So what would be the tentative split between the two, if you can throw some light on that?
Yeah, I think very good question. I think, you know, one is margin per ton, another is margin as a percentage. I agree margin as a, in the margin per ton has come down, but the figure on prices have come down almost 16%. So that helps us in maintaining the percentage EBITDA. Okay, so another thing is more capex and increased depreciations. So that has a pressure on the PBT. And these projects, we were supposed to also achieve growth on the top line and growth on the bottom line. Both have become flattish because of the two major shutdowns and subdued tractors demand, casting demand. And on the plus side is the ISMT side doing better than our expectation because of the softer commodity prices. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So just one more add-on question on this. So like from if you see bio-wise as well as quarter-on-quarter, so the performance in terms of NSR per ton of castings has largely either remained same or better, but pig iron has drastically fallen. So what is your outlook on this? Like, why are the pig iron producers not able to fetch that benefit?
The pig iron, basically, I just mentioned that currently supply demand supply is a little bit skewed. There are no exports happening, otherwise 100,000 per month or even more than that was going out of India. Then the domestic sales were balanced, but currently no exports happening. Everyone trying to sell in the domestic market. This affecting the pig iron prices. As it is, the demand overall, the foundry demand is subdued. With respect to pig iron realization versus casting realization, I would say that casting, tractors castings are typically simple castings. Rupees per kgs are lower than the auto Euro 7 complicated castings, and hence the product mix is favorable in terms of rupees per kg now with the reduced quantity from tractor. That's why you see drop in the average realization on casting is lower than the drop in the prices on pig iron. So it's because of the product mix change which happens with the tractor going down.
Sure, sir. And just one, to confirm one thing, you said that the coal blend cost for this quarter was $300. Am I right in this understanding?
No. That was the market price, whereas our own price of coal was like $250.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much.
$230-$240, which has become now $250. So market blend was $300, whereas ours was lower. In spite of that, we had the headwind.
And so the same would continue for this quarter as well, quarter three.
Don't know. See, unless the market continues, it depends on market, whether it goes down or it goes up, depends all on the market. But right now, market is dull. As it is, everybody is busy to get into the festival mood, and let's see what happens after Diwali.
Sure. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We would take that as our last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Gumaste for closing comments.
Yeah, I would like to thank all the callers today. I think very pointed questions, very interesting questions, and hope I could answer and clarify most of the points. Thank you very much for joining the call, and look forward to meet all of you after one quarter. Thank you. That's all from my side. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking, that concludes this conference. Thank you for having us, and you may now disconnect your lines.